Hello and welcome to the latest rendition of the AG podcast. I'm your host for today, DXI Jaminator, and with me as always is the Ash Cohen 09. Good evening, Ash.
Yep, good evening, mate. How are you doing? Bit of the
I'm not
lurgy at
too
the
bad.
moment.
Oh, man flu, mate. I'm actually off work at the minute because it's been a tough one. Don't know what's going on, just weak limbs and all that, but hey ho, we move on. We move on. With us today is a podcast semi-regular and a podcast not so regular, but obviously always welcome. We'll start with the semi-regular, which is everyone's favourite Div 3, hopefully next season, player Rhino. Good evening, Rhino.
Right, lads.
How you doing, mate? You okay?
I'm very well, thank you. Yep, looking forward to this.
Good, good. And on to the next one, obviously, who's recently been appointed the league coordinator, who is Suited Recluse. Good evening, Suited.
Evening, chaps. How are we? You all right?
All good, mate. All good. Are you okay?
Yeah, not bad, pal. Not bad.
Good, good. Right, so we're going to waste no time because we've got a lot to get through this evening. So we're going to kick straight off. Obviously, we had transfer deadline day, weekend just gone. We're going to go straight into talking about some dealings, first of all, that happened on the day and around it. We'll then talk about some auctions that stood out from, early on in the day all the way through to sort of 10 o'clock. We'll talk about the biggest bids and some mysteries as well. And then we'll go on to leagues. And then a little bit of what we want to see for next season moving forward. And then we'll talk about the Champions League as well. So without further ado, I'm going to go straight into deadline day. And Rhino, I'm going to come to you first. Deal that went through on the eve of midnight, I believe, just as we ticked over into deadline day. Amad Diallo for 25 million from Berger. Tell us about that one.
Yeah, I was in a party, I think, with Berger that night, and we were talking about it, and he kept knocking me back, and I think him and Bri were both after a striker, and they both had a lot of money, so I tried to persuade Berger that the more money he had, the better it would be. And in the end, it was a take it or leave it offer he gave me, which I thought was a lot of money, but I knew that Marcus would be throwing the cash around in the morning, so I went for it. Bit of pace up front to go alongside Evan Ferguson, so yeah, good deal for me that.
Yeah, happy with the deal?
Yeah, definitely, because 25 million one day is worth a different amount, the next day. The next day, we were spending all sorts of money on players, so no, very happy.
Yeah, that's it, isn't it? At the end of the day, you look at it, and I mean, we had a discussion actually. I'm going to come to the next deal, which happened the day before deadline day now as well. And again, I'll touch on it first with you, Rhino, and then Suited, I'll go on to you because I know you've had the player as well. It was interesting, obviously, 25 mil, as you remark there, obviously a lot of money. Someone who I sold to Bunsey the day before, Mandela Keita. Again, some of the lads in the WhatsApp wanted a CDM. My price, as quoted, was didn't change. I wanted 30 mil. In the end, Bunsey came in 29. I said, yeah, do you know what? Again, deadline day tomorrow. Let's have a bit of fun. Got a few midfielders already, so we'll give it a go. I mean, like I say, first of all, Rhino, your thoughts on that? You thought that was a bit overpriced?
I thought that was a lot of money. What was he, 74 rated, Jam? 75?
74 on the sheet, 75 on SofaFifa
Yeah,
and the game.
I thought that was expensive. With deadline day the next day, where you want your cash at the time, and I'm contradicting myself a little bit, I guess. But no, I thought that was a lot of money. But then again, I don't know how good the player is. I mean, he had reasonable stats, but that. But fair play to you. You stuck to your guns, and you got the dough in, and it was brilliant.
I mean, Suited, I'll come to you on that one again. I've got the player from you. Rhino says there, obviously, in terms of the type of player he is, for me, he's very much a midfield destroyer. He's got a great engine, and he seems to be getting upgrades. The FIFA gods seem to like him. So it was definitely a hard sell for me, even at that price. But again, knowing what was coming the next day, obviously, it worked out for me in the end. But what's your thoughts on that deal?
To be honest, I know I got them and I gave them to you as part of the deal we had for, I think, Nakamura and Maeda.
Yes.
And to be honest, like, I don't know why I did let him go because he was literally an absolute, like you say, destroyer in the midfield. And he is one of those, I know people say it, like, oh, he plays well above his stats, but honestly, he was overpowered. He literally could run for days. He was great in a tackle, even though his tackle stats weren't amazing, but he was still decent. When I look at the fee again, I mean, we'll come back to it later on about, you know, the auctions and that. But I physically, when I seen it, I was like, do you know what? I'd have him back in a heartbeat. But I was on 23 players and I didn't have the cash to pay for him.
Yeah.
But touching on what Rhino said, I think if you look at who's bought him, it's probably the reason why they've paid the money, and it's Buncey. And Buncey really doesn't do a mad lot on transfer deadline day.
Yeah, no, that's fair.
When Buncey gets the cash, I think he'll blow it on the player he wants there and then. So I think that's why Buncey had no real issue paying you that decent wedge. And plus, I think he made a decent wedge selling a player to Sean for 15 million. So it wasn't like he was like, you know, just burning through his cash. He was making a bit of money another way as well. But yeah, no, he's a decent player. One, if I can get him back in the future, I definitely have, because he has had a couple of upgrades since I sold him, as has Nonto, the beast.
Yes, yeah, absolutely. Again, he's another player I've got at the minute. Who's
I think
very,
you've done
good.
Me there completely. You've got the sports almanac over player upgrades. I've been done over.
A Biff Tanninger.
Yeah.
Again, we're gonna leave that one there because we've got a lot to get through. Ash, I'm going to come to you first of all, in terms of the transfer dealings before deadline day, just because I feel like you've been left out. I've gone to the other two so far. First of all, going into deadline day,
yes.
What did you need? What were your thoughts? You know, what was the? Did you do? Because I didn't actually see any of yours. Did you do any dealings the day before or of in terms of with other managers?
No. So on the day, I did a deal with Burger Boy to bring in Arta Vermeeren, the midfielder, 76 rated player. Had been after him earlier in the week in the BFA and missed out. So sent a message over to Burger because I'd seen he sort of advertised his team up on the market and said, oh look, you know, what would you want? We came to an agreement of a player swap and 25 million. Charlie Patino, 68 rated, so I'll go in the other way. It's a shame because I actually quite like Patino. You know, he plays quite well for me given his rating, and he was a player that at the start of this FIFA, when the squads were drawn, I was hoping he might end up with some nice upgrades over the course, but it's not worked out too well for him in real life over, I think he's at Swansea. Yeah, it was obviously time to let him go. But I mean, going into the day, I wanted a centre midfielder, a right back, and a goalkeeper, and I managed to do the centre midfielder earlier on, obviously with Berger. Obviously we'll come to the auctions in a minute, but it just meant leaving a right back and then the goalkeeper on the agenda for the day's activities.
No, fair enough. And one of the things, just before we move on to the auctions, there was two more dealings I wanted to touch on. One was a bit of an explanation for me, really. So, Rhino, you bought Patson Daka from Plunkett for 22.4 million. And in the shout box, there was some ongoing with Harry. What was the deal there? What happened?
So, I've been after Patson Daka for weeks, I suppose. But in the last couple of days, I'd been trying to do a deal for him. It wasn't happening, and then I offered him cash. I think I offered him 20 million. He put it up for sale, and then said the highest bid by a certain time would win it. And my bid was the highest at the time that he said, 22.4. So he did the deal with me. That's how I think it went. And Harry, when he bid above me, he bid 0.1 million, you know. So I think, was it Plunkett? I think Plunkett did the sensible thing, really, and sold him to me. You know, if Harry had offered another 5 million or something, then fair enough. Then he's...
Yeah,
then,
different.
Then I don't mind, you know. It's all good. Worked out in the end. And Daka, you know, is an old favourite of mine. That's the only reason I went for him, really. Big old favourite.
And then finally, then the last deal before we move on to the auctions, it happened again on deadline day. Did involve myself and did involve another member. We've talked about a fair bit already, Berger. I managed to fall lucky with the guess of that crazy game, the West Ham Newcastle game, and then immediately had WhatsApp messages and PMs flying in left, right, and centre with people saying, "Oh, who are you going to pick? Any idea you want to pick? This guy, this guy, this guy." Out of the PMs and messages that I got, the two that were most interesting were one from yourself, obviously Rhino, and one from Berger. Berger was, you know, saying, "Oh look, if you get Benjamin Sesko, I'll do a deal. I'll do," I think he said originally Vermeeren actually, and Marmol, who's a centre back that I wanted. No interest in the CDM, didn't need him. And then in the end, I think I realised Berger was on about 250 mil. and said, "Well," I said, "Well, how about 70 mil?" And Marmol, and he was like, "Oh, actually, yeah, go on then, fair enough." So again, worked out really well for me, and that was a massive slice of luck, huge. Obviously,
he had the money, didn't he, Jam? He had the money, and
yeah,
he went for it.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, and obviously, right. You know, there was some ongoings with me and you. You know, we maybe deliberated a little bit in terms of the deal before we even got the player in. And while we were negotiating on a hypothetical fee for Garnacho, Marcus, put him up in the auction. So it was a no go.
In the raffle,
which again we'll come to in a minute, but didn't work out too bad for you either.
Out for us both there, Jam.
Yeah, absolutely.
And not too bad for Berger either.
No, again, everybody's a winner, as they say. Right, we're going to move on to the auctions. So, first of all, then, kicking off the day, I think the first auction of the day included one for a WhatsApp crew member. Managed to get a hometown player in Diadex. He managed to bag Solanke for 20 million, which, for me, considering the form Solanke's in real life and the chance for upgrades, if he's not had upgrades already, is a bargain. Suited, what do you think about that deal?
Yeah, definite decent price. First one of the day as well. Sometimes you always think it's going to have to be big money to get the first one, but 20 million Premier League striker scoring goals for Bournemouth regularly. You would think due an upgrade or two before the end of the season, in my mind. Yeah, decent buy.
Right, agree. Do you think it was, Ash, do you think it was because Marcus kicked those first BFAs off? I think it was a 2 mil minimum bid. Do you think that's what maybe Dio, you know, came in and just put his foot down and was like, there's 20. Do you think that scared everybody off?
Yeah, I mean, maybe. You know, obviously being the first auction of the day, you know, I think in general, you know, the last couple of deadline days we've had, they always seem to be, you know, I mean, you look at the sort of bids that they've had, like, you know, obviously Solanke went for 20 million, but Pereira, 4.1, you know, Nico Williams, 7 million. Restes, the goalkeeper, from Jeff, 10.3, and people were conservative at that time of day. So no, I think 20 million is a good signing. As Suited said, he's playing well in the Premier League, so hopefully he'd get some upgrades, you know, between now and the end of the season. Yeah, I think this is a good signing at a good price, especially when you look at then what's been spent later on in the day.
And can I jump in, Jam? He's a Bournemouth fan, Al. Right?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
And if you look at Solanke, I'm just looking at him now, possibly better than Daka. You know, certainly, well, he is better than Daka. He's 77 compared to Daka. So, you know, he got a good, that was a good deal for him. And I think it was his only deal as well. So he did well there.
Yeah, I think it was in and out for Dio. Then it was Beer Garden, I think, based on what he was saying. So fair enough.
81 finishing.
So, oh, yeah, again, nobody's doubting his. I think, again, it's the typical thing which, you know, all of us, whether we like it rightly or wrongly, you know, we all look for a bit of pace every now and then, and maybe he's not quite got the amount of pace you'd want, but, you know, his ability as a striker can't really be questioned. Some of the deals that I picked out, especially early on during the day, you had Anunnaki. I know, Rhino, you've had a few run-ins with him recently. He did really well, obviously, in Division 2, which we're going to come on to in a minute. He spent 45 mil on two defenders early on, which, again, it's interesting when you look at it. He had, I think, the third best, or joint second best, I should say, defence in Division 2 last season. So, again, maybe just sort of getting ready for the impending onslaught of coming up to Div 1.
Can I just jump in, Jack? I don't know if you were going to come to me there, but no run-ins with Anunnaki. He's a good lad. I've just played him.
No. Run-ins in terms of games, I should say. Sorry, for clarity. Yeah.
I just played him in the tournament, and he beat me too. Isn't he a posh lad, eh? Do you think he's posher than Monty? on his video.
It's quite possible. It's quite possible. You know, you've got to go some way to be as posh as Bunty, but
he goes a bit down market to be mates with Hilly and Brilly, doesn't he? It's like, you know, they must live the other end of the town or something.
I mean, they do go to golf regularly, so you never know. moving on, we had Schroeder Becker, 47 million to Plunkett, which, Ash, you know, that was an interesting one for me because, you know, that puts into question the whole Boniface situation. You know, top goal scorer of the season. You know, Boniface, to, you know, has been a bit of a stalwart for Plunkett this season.
Yes.
Bringing in someone like that and spending that much money, which, again, when you look at it as holistically over the day, a lot more money was spent, fair enough, but still, 47 million on a striker when you've already got one like Boniface is a lot.
Yeah, I mean, absolutely. I mean, you know, I mean, Boniface, as you said, you know, he's done very well, top scorer this season. I mean, we'll obviously come to Division One shortly. Hasn't had the same effect that maybe this season, you know, for Plunkett as a team player. You know, I think obviously Plunkett's finished a bit lower than he did last season. But yeah, I mean, it is interesting. Is it a change in formation? Is he going to move Boniface on early next season? I don't know. It's interesting though, because I mean, I'd argue you don't spend 47 million on a striker to have him on the bench. So I'm intrigued. I'm intrigued to see what Plunkett's going to do with Becker. I mean, he's a good player.
Could be a bit of a freshen up of the system, like you say. Could be,
yeah, again, change of formation, two up front, you know.
Could have had a sneaky trade deal for Boniface that we don't know about. You just never know.
Maybe.
You never know.
Yeah, maybe.
Moving on, again, we're going to do these two in a bunch. So we've got Sanusi, which is a left back to Gaz, 48 million. Rhino, I know you hate the idea of spending a lot of money on a left back or a right back. So what did you think of that one?
Madness! 48 million on a left back. Madness. Yep. I could only think that Gaz only had 5 minutes spared throughout the day, and it was the only auction he could enter.
Quite possibly. Suited 47 million on a CDM. Richie, I'm not quite sure how you pronounce it.
Richie, yeah.
Obviously, again, was that just to fill a hole? Was it actually, I could do with a CDM? What was the thinking there?
I needed to do a CDM. Because I'm playing that left back in CDM, that De Kuyper that I got off you again.
I mean, he's bloody good though.
He is, and he does actually score goals. Yeah, and he does score a few goals further up. But I needed someone. I've only got a few lads in there. One's a 72, and then it's literally that's it. So I needed reinforcements. But it was one I thought to myself, I think I've overpaid on that one. I know Brilli went 45 million, and I was looking at it thinking, look, I've got the cash now, I might not have the cash later and I miss out completely.
Yeah.
So I pumped it into it, and he's had a couple of games already. Is he 47 mil? Probably not. But I've only had a couple of friendlies, give him a few games with him and I'll probably find out how he plays better. But yeah, I think I slightly overpaid on that one.
But I mean, the thing is, I mean, value is such an abstract concept, isn't it, on deadline day. You just have no idea what anybody's worth, because through the day,
and
people's
that's it.
Bank balance depletes, or they get more money from, you know, challenges or whatever, and it just becomes, you know, through the day it can fluctuate so much.
And that's it. And that's like guys paid obviously that money, and Rhino said, you know, it is a lot for a right back, left back. I mean, I've done the same later on in the day, but the reason behind it I'll explain later on if we get to it. But for guys like Rhino said, it may have been the only thing he could have done at that time. Once a certain player, splash of cash, I've got it now rather than having got it later on. The problem is, because everyone's doing their videos, everyone's doing the challenges, and they're all getting their money at different points, that does make things different. Like, in a minute, we'll come to those massive bids, and that's because I think everyone got paid out and had the cash to burn. And I think a couple of people missed out on big bids, so people went, do you know what? I've either got to go all in or nothing at all. And again, it makes for an exciting day, you know what I mean? It's certainly puts your cojones on the table when you're doing it.
Oh, definitely. And I think it is interesting. Again, we've got one more transfer to discuss before we move on to those four big boys. But you are right. And again, I think it got to the point as, you know, maybe, what, 8 o'clock, something like that. People just thought, fuck it. If I want a player, you know, if someone comes up that I really, really want from whether it's previous seasons or whatever, I just need to lay everything on the line for him. And that's totally, you know, totally understandable.
Was there a player that you were waiting for, Jam? That was there a player that you were waiting for? I had a player.
Yeah, there
was.
Yeah, there was one. There was one. Which again, I'll discuss right at the end. But the last one I wanted to discuss, and again, I mean, bless him, Andy Brill. You know, we know he likes a Watford player. But 45.3 million. Sorry, 45.5 million on 73 rated. Emmanuel Dennis just seems bizarre to me. Can anybody give me some, you know, some context on that? I mean, I know he's a Watford player, but
is he quite pacey still?
Well, he's 73 rated.
He used to have quite a lot of pace, I think, on the previous games, didn't he, Dennis?
Isn't it? It's a bit like Morris, who loves his Leeds players. and he'll pay through the nose just to get them because they're Leeds players. I think Brelli's done the same there. He's had them before. He knows what he can do, and it's like, you know what? What for player? Let's just spunk some cash on him. Get some, you know, get him. You know, but yeah, it's surprising that amount. Yeah. What's he got right now?
85 pace, 76 finishing. I mean,
that's not bad for a 73 meter, to be honest.
85 jumping, good shot power, good agility. He looks better than a 73 rater.
I mean, we're saying this as well, and obviously, you know, the big thing that's hanging over all of us at the minute is the MDP for next season. You know, a 73 might be worth a lot more next season than, say, a Boniface, because people can't afford Boniface wages. You know, so again, we'll have to see, you know, what happens, and we'll come on to that in a minute. I'm conscious we're nearly halfway through the podcast, and we've not even touched on the four biggest bids. So very quickly, to run down those biggest bids, we had Aaron. I'm sure you're agreeing with Envy Rhino, 115 million on Rasmus Højlund. We had Morris, 124 million on Noah Okafor. We had Bry, 129 million on a guy called Garcia, who isn't even tall. So that was an interesting one. And we had 90 million that Payne popped up on for Renato Sanchez, which, as you said, Ryan, obviously was definitely someone we were aware he was waiting for to come up. Again, Ash, any of them four that you want to pick out, or any other ones we've not mentioned there?
No, I mean, obviously, you know, Rasmus Højlund, Aaron must be very happy. 115 million player that I think will get upgrades. That's a really, really good signing, in my opinion. I mean, one that we haven't mentioned again is Andy Brill, is Thomas Munier. The 76 rated. I mean, he's a right back. I mean, Andy Brill spent 52 million, but then I was having a little look at his stats, and he can play almost anywhere on the pitch. So, you know, I actually think that's quite good value, because, you know, you've got a few different positions that you can play. I mean, I don't know at Okafor. On previous games, he's been really, really quick and lethal. You know, 124 million. You know, whether he still is or not, I'm not too sure. But it's nice to see the big some big bids on the table in terms of triple figures. I mean, I think I don't know what the biggest bid was. I know someone was asking about it the other day, and I'm sure at some point on the site we've hit 200 million in a bid, in a single bid.
Yeah, well, that would mark a shark for one of his players.
I would imagine it'd be Mark, yeah.
Maybe,
because he used to do that a lot, didn't he?
Yeah. but no, big, big money, but some good players there, so people can be happy.
I mean, suited, any of those four you want to touch on? Again, Sanchez, Garcia, Okafor, or Højlund, or anybody else?
I think Okafor's been in the league before, and I think that's why Morris paid the massive money. The one that I'm surprised went so cheap was Youssef Moukoko. Sean got him for a steal at 20 million, and I know Buncey had him on the last reset, and he was so overpowered.
He was
absolutely dreadful. You know, dreadfully quick, dreadfully strong. You literally, and he was only a 73 rated back then, so now he's a 77. I think Sean's got himself an absolute gem now. And I think if Sean sold him, he could probably sell him for four or five times that amount, because he is that type of player. The other one I like as well, and again, he was pretty good, was Ansu Fati.
Definitely.
I've got him off you last time, and again, for a player of his rating, he's brilliant, super quick, great feet, and he can actually finish as well.
The only worry with him is obviously the potential downgrades, because he's not playing very well for Brighton.
That's the one worry.
As well, isn't he? He's injury prone.
Rhino, so again, obviously you've got the four we've just named. So again, Højlund, Okafor, Garcia, Sanchez. I know you're probably going to want to talk about Sanchez, maybe even Højlund. And you said there was another one you were waiting for. Who was the player you were waiting for, and what do you want to touch on in terms of any of them four?
So first of all, we'll go on Rasmus Højlund. Aaron's been PMing me, trying to use him to get Garnacho back.
Nice.
But I've been ignoring those messages because.
I mean, Aaron, if you're listening, which obviously you are, because everybody listens to this, you know, just corroborate that for us. Just you know, there might be a shed of untruth in that. I don't know.
I knew Payne was waiting for Sanchez. He's a player we've both had many times, and he's always been overpowered, always been brilliant, great hair. And he was, I think it was because it was such, it was so late in the day, wasn't it? He spent all his 90 million on it. Fair play to him. If there's a player you want, I would do the same. The player I was waiting for was Andre Onana. I think so many people were saying in their videos they need a CDM. Well, I needed a CDM, and I ended up with two. I got him, which was great. And the other one I got on the auction at the end was Taram. He's been brilliant. Scored a hat trick against Bry last night.
Oh, Kefram, the little guy. Yeah. Oh, Nice guy, sorry, Nice guy. Yeah.
Yeah, really, really, really better than I thought he would be. Onana's taking his time a little bit. The other guys, I don't really know them that well. I mean, I saw Brian spent a lot of money, and I thought, oh God, that must be somebody, you know, that must be Messi or something. And I looked at it, I thought, I've never heard of him. So,
no,
you know,
no, never.
But there are plenty of good players that I've never heard of. So, fair play to him.
No, I'll be honest. I don't know about you other boys suited Nash. I'd never heard of this guy that suited bought. But when I looked at his stats, I was thinking, do you know what? Fair play. He's a good player actually.
Mm. Yeah.
I mean, Bry.
Right. Mm. Levi Garcia, yeah, I looked at him as well and I was like, yeah, maybe an overpayment, but you never know.
Right, boys, before we move on and we leave deadline day there, again, suited, anything else from you?
The only other one I would say, and we touched on Plunkett earlier on with Becca, but he's got Tony as well now.
Yep.
So he's got Becca, Boniface and Tony. So
three of the best strikers in the league.
Three of the best strikers in the league, all up front. That could be a deadly thing for him next season.
Absolutely. Ash?
No, I mean, maybe 4-3-3 formation, three central strikers.
Christ, yeah, long ball.
Maybe.
The Riverman formation, three strikers all tight next to each other.
Yeah. No, I don't think so. Not that we've not touched on. I mean, yeah, I agree on Sean, Yusuf and Moukoko, 20 million. If he's as lethal as he was with Buncey, Sean's got a great player.
Brilliant. And Rhino, anything else before we move on?
No, move on, mate. I've got five players on the deadline day, and so I'm very happy.
No, I think, again, it was a good deadline day had by all. And again, thanks very much for the admins. Thanks for Marcus and obviously everything. And obviously all the contributions everybody put in with the videos. It was a blast. So well done, everybody. Right, boys, we're going to move on to the leagues. We'll kick off with Div 1, go into then Div 2 shortly after. So Div 1, again, we have to start begrudgingly with a congratulations to Berger. Not undefeated, but he did pick up his umpteenth title. You know, I can't remember how many it is now that he's won. However, only 6 points ahead of Suited in the end. Suited, I'm going to come straight to you. We're going to do it slightly different. I'm not going to run down the leagues. I'm going to sort of pinpoint different parts to talk about. So, you know, big charge from you at the end. You're only 6 points out. Did you think you could do it? Was it mathematically impossible? You know, how did it go?
Yeah, no, I mean, I had the 4 games left. It wasn't mathematically possible for me to catch Berger anyway. But like I said last time, I think when I come on, it's a typical Spurs moment. Second again, I think that's 3 seasons on the bounce now. I've finished second, within touch and distance. I think I beat Sean twice and you twice with a bit of a controversial, shocking goal by myself, which I apologise for immediately, which was literally savage. So yeah, I apologise on air as well. It was awful. Good season. You know, at the end of the day, it's just... Berger is just like a machine. I mean, I know I beat him twice at the end of the season, but stopped his invincible run, as it were. Yeah. But he's got that habit of winning games where he's not in games. You read some of his threads, he's like, oh, I was 2-1 down, but I've won 3-2 and all this lot. He's just got the knack of winning, and it is going to take a colossal effort, I think, to someone to knock him off. You're going to have exactly the same season as him, go like all the way pretty much unbeaten until the end and take it from there. But yeah, as a season as a whole, pretty happy with it. Yeah, just yeah, it's just so close and yet so far.
Yeah, and again, look, you know, congratulations to you, mate, you know, to be that close. You know, you and Sean, not bad at all, really. I mean, look, with the additions both you and Sean have made, I mean, when you guys were talking about it then about Moukoko, I just sort of noted down, you know, Sean title push next season, question mark. You know, if he comes in and manages to string a team together, because that's one of the things we've said about Sean in the past is his similar to me now, actually, in my current, you know, personal life, the inability to get to loads of events or to take part in loads of things to generate that more scudo, you know, that's what sort of lets him down, because he can be quite a streaky player. If you get him on a hot streak, there's no reason he couldn't push up to them upper echelons of the table, which we're seeing now.
Yeah, definitely.
Do you think, suited, that, you know, that he could sort of pull a title challenge out again next season, or maybe one that's more sustained, because it sort of came out of nowhere towards the end, didn't it?
Yeah, definitely. But if you look at the league table, his ability this year was not scoring goals. I mean, he literally scored 82, the same as me.
Yeah.
His big thing was letting him in the other end.
Definitely.
I mean, he conceded 65, so that's what, 20 more than me, 20 more than Berger, and in fact, it's literally he let in more than what you did.
I think it's not a bad thing.
Yeah. So I got a funny thing. The thing is, if he can shore up the back of it, then yeah, he's got a definite. I mean, he's come from nowhere this season. Last year it was Plunkett. You know, he was always there. Tom's had a very good season this year as well. I think losing a couple of players by fines did him in. But yeah, no, Sean, I think if, you know, with the additions he's got, and if he can carry on playing like this, because I know he's done it before, and then he had a couple of seasons where he dropped off and was like close to relegation, and now he's come back this season. I think you never know. Next year could be his year. I think if anyone can beat Berger, then they got a chance.
Definitely. I mean, Ash, I'm going to come to you next. Obviously, first of all, you know, you were 3 points off me, unfortunately, despite my abysmal end to the season. I managed to just pip the old podcast rivalry, and finish above you. Literally, it was just one win, one loss in it.
That's it.
Obviously, a fair amount of goal difference swing, actually, to be fair as well, though. Again, you know, as Suited just said there, in terms of the what let Sean down, obviously, was conceding goals. Yes. It looks like that's what happened for you this season as well.
Yes. Yeah, I mean, the first half of the season, it was poor. You know, I mean, I was saying on previous podcasts, I hoped that I would stay away from the relegation scrap, but I was feeling less confident as time was going on. A change of formation and, you know, a couple of new additions into the squad, and it seems to have worked in the second half of the season. And I just sort of managed to propel myself a little bit away. I think, just looking here, finished 9 points off the relegation spots in the end. I said at the start of the season I would stay up. I hope to stay up, and that would be a good season. So, sort of obviously next season now, I just want to push on. You know, I've obviously strengthened on deadline day and changed the formation and all sort of worked to the formation in the pre-season market, so to speak. A very mixed season for me, but I'm glad of how the season has ended given where it was at one point.
And again, you know, just before we move on from Div 1, Ryan, obviously, I know you can't really talk too much about Div 1, but just touching on the Plunkett thing, I mean, you know, we saw Boniface was top scorer again, like we've talked about in the transfer dealings, you know, by a sort of quite hefty margin, you know, 7 goals. Do you think he's going to become the next Haaland like he was in the last reset and get passed around quite a bit, or do you think it'll just be a case of, you know, Plunkett's accumulated a few strikers and he won't be going anywhere, it'll be the other guys that go?
I don't think I don't know Plunkett well enough, to be honest, but I know that trying to get players out of him has been very, very difficult. Seems to get attached to them a little bit, maybe. But I used Boniface before the reset, because he was in one of the teams and I was choosing a team, and didn't like him at all. I think it depends how he gets on with Tony, I guess. I imagine he'll sell one of them.
Yeah, just quickly, is it Tony on a wage-free season? Or is that someone else? We had a player that's on the wage-free season.
There was.
I'm sure it is Tony, yeah.
Is it Ivan Tony? So maybe that, you know, maybe he moves on one of the other two strikers.
That's a good, very good point, especially again when we don't know what the MDP is going to be as well.
Before you move on.
Yes, go on.
Is it Aaron in it in the relegation zone?
So that's where I was actually coming to next, to be honest. So, we talked about it in a couple of pods ago. I mean, Aaron and Jeff, what can you say? You know, I mean, it was a struggle towards the end of the season. Depending on what happens with the league set up next time round, whether it's 2 or 3, You can't, I mean, suited, you can't see anybody but those two challenging at the top of either a two division, division two, or a three division, division two, can you?
Yeah, no, literally, it's, yeah, they're going to be very strong. It's just really going to depend on numbers, I think, depending on how we go. But if you look at those that have gone down, you know, you can't see nothing else by them being back up at the other end for next season.
I've got a question suited. You're the league manager, right? You're the league head honcho, right?
No. I'm a facilitator. That's how me and Marcus have put it. So basically, Marcus still makes all the main decisions. Obviously, we'll chat about it. But what my role is going to be is literally just the day-to-day running. So literally, you know, making sure games are played, making sure fixtures are out, making sure that there's no issues. If there's any issues, just sorting those out. Marcus will still hold, you know, the responsibility of where we go. His decision will be that. We'll chat about it, obviously. But yeah, no, that is, he will make the decisions, basically. Yeah.
I've got a question for you. How many points would Berger need to be docked for you to win the league next season?
20.
I think it can be arranged.
Yeah, let's stick some extra fines in out there, yeah.
As I say, he says some contentious stuff. You know, he took me out in F1 once. Maybe we should just get tighter on some of these fines, for sure. Exactly. Hey, you know, look, not being funny, but we've seen it. You know, I think we talked about this before, didn't we? We're going to move on to Division 2 now. You know, both in real life and in the league, we talked about people doing, you know, financial misdealings. And Guy said on the podcast once, it was bang out of order because... what you actually were seeing were people were overspending or whatever, you know, to accumulate points while they had the players, but then they were just getting a financial penalty, and often they had the money to cover it. Whereas now, and as we move into Division 2, Freudian slip based on what I'm going to talk about, you know, someone who had, you know, countless points penalties this season was Harry, you know, and you can see, you know, he absolutely got battered in terms of his lead position for it. You know, he won 6 games and had 3 draws, so he should be on 21 points, and he had 6 points deduction, which meant he finished bottom of the league in Division 2. So for me, you know, that just proves that deterrent is absolutely working, that people shouldn't, you know, people should be punished in terms of competitive action rather than just simply a financial penalty.
I don't agree with that. He simply, and it's not because it's Harry, because you're getting punished so heavily for... What are you getting punished for? Forgetting to do something. I mean, I forget to do something, Jam, every hour of every day, right? And that's what happens, as you know, suited, when you get older and stuff. not that I know how old you are. But, yeah, so it's not a misdemeanor, is it? You just forget to do something.
But I'll die on this hill, though, because I, you know, I have it in terms of work all the time. Like, there's one person at work that keeps turning up late, and he's, oh, my alarm didn't go off, I've got no excuse. I'm like, yeah, but my alarm went off, and his alarm went off, and her alarm went off. So you're the only one to blame in this situation. And it's the same with Harry, you know, not checking your team for ratings or not doing an update or whatever. Yeah, but you know what I mean? For me, again, that just doesn't wash. It does not wash at all. Everybody's responsible for their own actions. Yeah, I think for me the penalties are absolutely just and should continue. But look, we'll part that conversation because we could have a whole podcast on that.
I don't think it was just Harry's points deduction. I just seen he's conceded 117 goals. I don't think that out either. Sorry, Harry.
Brilliant.
But
brilliant.
Yeah.
Absolutely brilliant. Look, we'll have a quick look at the top of Div 2 before we come on to the bottom of it quickly. Again, really nice, Ash, to see a pod prediction paying off for once. We said in the first episode of this season, Soggy and MGG would get promoted, and lo and behold, it's happened.
Yes, no, congratulations to MJG and doing it so convincingly. You know, 11 points clear, 101 goals scored, nice 62 goal difference. So, yeah, he's had a great season. And Soggy Cabbages, you know, we said he'd come up and he has. And I'm looking forward to seeing how he does in the top division. I've not played Soggy Cabbages in a league game for quite a little while. So, looking forward to that already. But, yeah, no real surprises, I don't think, in terms of, you know, who was pushing on in this division, and it's come true. I mean, obviously, it's too early to talk about the league for next season, but
you know, you'd expect it to be the same sort of next time around. But no, well done to Mark, and well done to Soggy, and also well done to Anunnaki as well, obviously getting in that second spot.
Yeah, I mean, again, he very much kicked on from mid-season. I think with Soggy, you know, only 1 point in it between him and Bry, he nearly bottled it, Rhino. I mean, those top three, were they a clear top three through the season for you? You know, when you had your games against them, what do you think?
I think they were until Bry, Bry faded, I think, a little bit towards the end. I thought he was pushing for it. Soggy, I mean, you never know what you're going to get, really. He obviously did well there, but... you know, Payne beat him twice at the end of the season. I don't know if he was on the beach or something, or whether he was already promoted. But Anunnaki was I think I got some points off him. But fair play to the three of them; they deserved it. I think the league is as it should be. Really surprised to see Raz so far down, and me. I think certainly with me, I lost a little bit of interest in the middle of the season, and that affects it big time. If you stop playing friendlies, it can really affect you, and that's what happened to me. Cause I just lost interest.
I mean,
not making excuses, but
well, I mean, that's I was just going to come on to you actually, mate. To be fair, so we sort of saw murmurings towards the mid end of the season. That if we got the numbers, obviously there'd be three divisions. Now this is me, you know, with my skeptical hat on, you know, my sort of tinfoil hat. Was there a little bit of, you know, Thomas the Tank Engine going on there? You know, making sure you finish sort of down a little bit low, Jan, to make sure you're in Div 3.
Not for me, Jan, because I finished really well the season. I mean, I got 4 points against Raz, 4 points against Bry towards the end. So no, I had a good finish to the season. I was. You know, my poor form was sort of early to mid season, really. I came back, but none of that. I always want to be in the highest division I can be. I always want to do the best I can.
Well, park that, because I'm going to come on to that before we move on from the league chat and before we start talking about the Champions League. In terms of the rest of Div 2, again, no massive surprises. Like we said, Harry, bless him, 117 goals conceded. He's had an absolute shocker. More goals conceded than Andy Brill, more conceded than Nuthatch, Gaz, you know, et cetera, et cetera. I mean, Gaz conceded 97 goals. You concede 97 goals in a 14-person league, you know, and someone concedes more than you. You've done some, you know, some good work there. So, well done, Harry.
These guys have got better, actually, Jam. This division, although it's finished how it has, you know, the guys like Nuthatch, certainly Nuthatch, Wizfox, Gaz, you know, well capable of beating the players at the top.
Yeah, I mean, Nuthatch drew against me in the Champions League. You know, just this morning. So, you know, he's a good player.
Quite a lot. Yeah, they've all improved quite a lot.
Yeah. Just a point of matter of fact for me, terrible podcast hosting right now. Who won the playoffs? Because I didn't quite catch that. Was it Payne or Hilly? It was Hilly, wasn't it, actually?
Hilly.
It was Hilly. Yeah, I know. I do remember. It was Golden Goal.
Did he beat Al?
He beat Payne, because Payne had so many chances with Marcus Leonardo.
And even in the Golden Goal, he missed.
Yeah,
he missed a couple of serves.
Yeah.
It was a good playoff game, actually, that. But yeah, no, look, good overall finish, Div 2 as well. And again, Bry probably unlucky not to pip Soggy at the end. But Soggy doing the unusual there, no draws at all. You know, from someone we consider as a bit of a conservative, you know, draw merchant or defensive merchant, long gone are those days, I think. He's done a good job.
By the way, guys, Jan, Payne and Hilly was the semi-final, actually.
Oh, was it?
Yeah, and then Hilly beat Diadex in the final.
Oh, apologies. Oh, right.
Yeah, okay. That was. He won 4-3 in the year.
Fair enough. Well, again, fair play to those. Look, one thing I want to just discuss very quickly before we move on to the Champions League, and again, it's an interesting point, actually, for all four of us, really. There was a feedback thread, I think, halfway through the season, suited that Marcus popped out. You know, they were talking about two divisions, three divisions, etc. And I think I put something in there along the lines of, and my thoughts haven't changed. My frustration with it is that if we're in a situation where people are, you know, whinging about getting promoted, you know, so they don't want to go up and face better opposition, that's a real sad state of affairs for me, that one. And you know, Rhino, it's like I've just said to you there, obviously, in terms of you know, joking about you tanking the end of the season, obviously, you know, out of context, whatever. For me, if you get promoted, like, you know, you're Soggy, you're Hilly, you're Anunnaki and MJG, those guys, irrespective of what happens next season, should be in Div 1. Because that's how it works. You know, they've beaten the rest of the players in that current crop of players, therefore have earned the right to play in Division 1.
Yeah, you know, then you're going to have to drop people down from Division 1 that didn't deserve to be relegated to accommodate them. So no.
So in terms of, let's say it kept as a 2 is what I'm saying at the moment. Sorry, just for clarity. In terms of clarity. Sorry, I should have made that clear. However. And I'm not saying that they are necessarily going to do this. Maybe this is just my mindset, you know, et cetera, et cetera. Me putting my foot in my mouth. But I would say, you know, people in that group could get easily disillusioned and, you know, frustrated that maybe they're not doing as well as they were last season. And then you could see a Ry Jones situation where he loses interest and just leaves the leagues, you know, or, you know, I think there's a few other people in other points in seasons gone by where they've just very much thought, oh, you know, I can't bother with this anymore because it's not, you know, I want to take my toys and go home. I mean, Ash, for you, you know, again, and we've talked about this when we were playing all league games, I think. I've always said, look, you know, again, dropping down to Div 2, I think I did it voluntarily once when Joe was the league admin, you know, again, he was looking for somebody to drop down. That was a great time because I was winning games left, right and centre. But at the same time, when I then got promoted, I didn't whinge about the fact that I got promoted because that's a byproduct of me doing well in that current crop of players that I was in, if that makes sense. So. I don't know. I just don't like the idea of some people saying, oh, if I get promoted, I'm maybe going to quit because I don't want to basically get beat week in, week out. Does that make sense?
Yeah, no, it does make sense. And I don't know realistically how many people would do that. I don't know, just to me on the site. I don't know how many people would. I mean, you look at obviously the 3 that have gone up automatically, or like, right, the 4, you know, MDG, Anunnaki, Soggy and Hilly. All of which deserve to be playing Division 1 football next season on merit because they've been the best of it, you know, the best players in that division. And, you know, I would argue there's a few of them that will hold their own. You know, I mean, MJG will hold his own. Hilly's held his own in the past. Soggy and Anunnaki, I haven't played enough of, so I can't really make too much comment on them. But no, I mean, I don't know. I mean, obviously, you know, because I don't know who said, you know, sort of implied that in the threads. But I don't think we'd have many people or anyone. Or I'd like to think we wouldn't have anyone that would be like that. But I mean, if you've done well in the Division 2, right? You've had a great season, then surely you'd want to go and play a season of. You know, a higher up the leagues, you know, because you know you deserve to be there.
Yeah, I mean, what do you think about that? Because do you see where I'm coming from on this point? Like, I think that some people would have a reticence to go up because they think they're just going to get beaten all the time, and potentially would then, you know, consider the enjoyment they're getting out of it, etc. You know, we saw it with, and I'm not calling people out. I think I can't remember who it was, to be honest, actually. But in the F1. There was a, you know, do you want to go up to Div 1 and race with Div 1 or do you want to stay in Div 2? And for me, that's not fair because then you're saying to the Div 2 guys, this person's just smashed you all season and guess what? They're going to stay again and smash you again.
Yeah. So me personally, and again, this is just hypothetical. If it stayed 2 leagues, if you've been good enough to win Div 2, you go in Div 1. And, you know, at the end of the day, I know it's a game and we enjoy it, but we have the division so you can compete. You want to win your league, you want to get golden boot. I mean, look how many times Payne was like, oh yeah, another 6 points, Boateng 47 goals, golden boot. It's because you won that award. You won that accolade of, I got the top scorer, I've finished top. You know, someone like Mark this season who's done really well in Div 2 deserves to have his shot and his chance to play in Div 1. I wouldn't have thought, like Rhino said, anyone would have tanked to stay in the league because you never know what's going to happen. If we move to 3 leagues and you've deliberately tanked it, well, you end up in a worse division than, you know, Rhino and Payne having that banter. Well, hang on, Rhino's in Div 2, Payne, you're in Div 3, and then Rhino's got the upper hand because he's in the higher league.
Suited. Suited. Rhino's always got the upper hand, mate. Don't worry about
it. But no, personally, you know, like I say, if you've won the league and you've come second, or you've won the playoffs like Illy has, why wouldn't you want to go up and try and take points off the top guys? You know, it's happened before. You know, people have come up and they've done all right. You know, it can be done. So challenge yourself, give it a go. You know, all right, yeah, you may get beat, you may take a point, but surely that's the challenge of playing in a sort of, like, you know, a league system.
Totally agree. I wonder what Berger would do. Hey guys.
I mean, again, just your thoughts on it right now as well. Do you agree?
I don't think, you know, I've heard the same comments as you, Jan. And I don't think said people would actually lose a game deliberately. I think a lot of the time it's just in case they lose, they save face a little bit. I don't think anybody would actually lose a game to avoid being promoted.
Mm.
I may be wrong. If there's one or two of those people, there's no more than that. I think most people would do as Suited said. You know, take it and give it a good crack. That's what I would do, and that's what I have done. When I, you know, my first promotion, people were joking about me getting promoted. I got promoted and stayed up. So, you know, that's where I come from.
No, fair enough. Right, boys, just before we finish, we'll touch on the Champions League, which obviously kicked off today. First of all, your teams. So, Ash, you got Porto. Happy with that one?
I've had one game with them this evening. I played Wizzy Fox. It ended in a 2-0 defeat, although that was more down to great goalkeeping more than, and obviously Wizzy taking his chances. But
well done, Foxy.
Yeah, no, well done, Foxy. I got Berger and Harry still to play in the group. That was the group A: Berger, myself, Harry, and Wizzy Fox.
Mm.
I mean, they've got some okay players. You know, Mehdi Taremi up front, 82 rated. And then there's a few other players on there that are okay. I mean, yeah, they're all right. they're okay. I'll do the best I can with them.
Fair enough. Rhino, happy with the old Atletico Madrid? Have you had them before?
I think I have had them before, maybe in this kind of tournament. I like them. I like the kits and stuff. I like Griezmann, who wouldn't? I've played two of my games already, and Griezmann and what's his name? Memphis Depay. Really good. He scored a banger against Anunnaki. Anunnaki. He scored a banger against him earlier, and which I'll post on the site.
Yeah, keep it, because I think Bry's doing a goal of the tournament.
Yeah, thought he might. I've kept it, so I don't often get those. That was good. It was good. Can I just ask you a question? Is it only two go up, and then if you don't go and come in the top two, you're out of the tournament? Is that it?
No, it goes into Europa.
Europa League, yeah.
Ah, okay, so there will be further. Okay, that's good. Okay. One more thing, though. Suited, are you available this evening? Because I've got to play you.
I won't be, mate. No, I've got to jump straight off after the podcast, unfortunately. But I should be around the next day or so. You said it off in the afternoon, didn't you?
No problem, pal. Yeah. No worries.
And then, Suited, yourself, you've got Union Berlin. Happy with those? Obviously, Schreuder, Becker, I believe. Does he play for them anymore?
No, we don't know more. That's what I thought. And I was like, yes. And then I looked at the team this afternoon on SoFIFA and I was like, no. There's a couple of decent rated players, but that's all they are decent. I think my most high profile player is Kevin Volland up front. I did look, there's a nice young 73 rated striker who's got 95 pace.
Oh, nice.
So that's going to probably be my go-to man up front, one up front, and just try and do whatever. Bit slow centre back. I might get found out with the slow centre backs and slow wing backs, but we'll see. I give them a couple of games with the same tactic I use in the league and just see what happens and take it from there. But it is what it is. That's the beauty of this competition. You know what I mean? It's, you know, you finish high up in the league, you get the worst of teams. So it's the handicap, isn't it, really?
Yeah, no, I agree. I got Galatasaray. I've actually played all my games already. Managed to get them all done today. on top of the group, 3 wins, 1 draw. I think I can't be knocked off top of the group, but again, we'll see.
See, I did think in that group you were going to struggle just because it was Galatasaray, yeah, looking at the other teams. And then when I seen that you'd actually already done your games on top, I was quite surprised. So,
Well, again, so it was a weird one. So when you look at up front, they've got obviously Icardi, Mertens, Zaha. They've got some good players going forward. But defensively, you know, they're terrible. The goalkeeper's kept me in a few games for sure. Definitely did against Payne early on in the game. My only draw against Nuthatch, obviously, with Bayern Munich. Harry Kane is just absolutely lethal. If he shoots from anywhere near the box, it just goes in. So fair play, he's going to definitely be a handful. The group I wanted to point out just before we finish up was actually Group E. Bless him, Brilli has got Real Madrid. You know, he's got one of the best teams on FIFA. But he's in a group of five with Bunsey, Hilly, Aaron, and Plunkett. I mean, he's going to have to go some way to get some decent points in that, I would have thought. For sure.
Nil point.
Yeah, I mean, thoughts of for the tournament, Rhino? How far do you want to go? I mean, as far as you can, obviously, but do you think you'll be able to get through the group in the top two?
Well, I didn't think I was, because I lost to Ananaki. I beat Gazgrass. But hearing about suited centre-backs, mate, I'm going to stick all my fast players up there and
see how it goes.
But it's going to be a struggle. I only got to beat the runner-up in League One, Division One.
But you never know. A point may even do you, mate.
And obviously, suited, similar to you, obviously, similar to Rhino, I should say, obviously, again, Gaz and Anunnaki and Rhino, again, you should surely get one of the top two places in that, regardless of the team.
I would hope so, yeah. You know, you've got to aim for it. There's no point playing to sort of not do it. Mm-hmm. I've already got my eye on the actual... I've picked out who I think will win it, though, with their team.
All right, okay.
I'm going to basically... there's two people, sorry. Mark with Milan, AC Milan.
Yeah, that was mine. That was mine, actually, as well.
Or Aaron with Newcastle. I think with that team would be a decent team.
Interesting. My two were Big B and MJG.
I don't think the teams are enough of a differentiator. I think Berger could win with whatever.
With Celtic have two very quick strikers, though, in Maeda and Fuhurashi, or whatever his name is. So, you know, that plays into his hands. I would argue you've been done over there, suited. I think that he's got a better team than you in terms of where you look at the stats of players, but hey-ho. Ash... again, you should ideally be coming second in that group, I would think. But you said did you pick up any points against us?
I lost 2-0 as a Whiz Fox. So, got Harry. And I mean, who's Harry got? Because he's obviously arguably going to have the best team.
He's got Man City.
Did he? Yeah, all right. There we go. Yeah. So, Harry and then Berger. So, we'll see. I mean, in theory, I should be... Well, I'd like to think I'll finish second, but... gotta do something against Berger and Harry, so we'll see how it goes.
Right, boys, we're gonna round it off there. Again, don't forget to look out for obviously the last stage of the Champions League information on the upcoming divisions, obviously, which I'm guessing suited won't be long.
So we're just waiting for all the final numbers, and then we'll start working on a plan. I know there's an upgrade that Marcus was looking at as well, so that I'm not too sure whether that's got to be done before or after, but yeah, it's definitely going to be in the pipeline soon.
Perfect. And then obviously, of course, if you've not signed up as well, we've got the F1, which is going to be kicking off in just under a week's time, obviously next Monday. Again, I think there is still a thread ongoing for that. I believe Andy Brill, I don't know if the sign-up's actually already closed or if it's still open. I think it might still be open. But again,
I'm sure if you want to do it, he'll try to accommodate, won't he?
Yeah. Again, fingers crossed we can get obviously everybody racing in one night again, because that worked really, really well this season. Massive, massive enjoyment from that. And again, just a massive thank you to everybody who contributes to the site and to good nights like that.
Two things, right, Jack, boys. Before you say goodbye to me, number one, why is it we always have, I know we haven't got time to discuss this, everything finishes at the same time. So we're sat here, we've got no golf. I went to play the golf this year today. There's no golf, there's no F1, and no FIFA. all at the same time. I think it's
withdrawal
just
symptoms,
it's just,
mate.
It's just unlucky. It's just unlucky.
Well, you've got Champions League.
Yes. Look forward
you've
to
got the Champions
through,
League, yeah. And the head-to-head targets have just been released for next season as well.
Yeah, hey, just Jam. On that. Oh, yeah, go on. I say yeah. So the head-to-head started obviously today. So get playing, use your Champions League teams. Just to say, there is a secret hidden achievement.
Can we all have a guess at that, Suited? Can we all have a guess?
Well, it doesn't make a difference. I'm not going to tell you, am I?
I will clarify,
because obviously, if people ask, me and Paul are exempt from that achievement, just to put it out there, so people don't think that because we know what it is, we're going to do it first. So basically, we're not included in that.
Suited, which screenshot do we need to take? Because I'm taking 20 photographs after every game just to make sure I get the right screenshot.
The only screenshot we need is obviously your main screenshot, which Paul's asked for on target 1 and 2. All right.
Okay, mate. No worries.
So literally, that's all we need to clarify what you need to do. But yeah, and also the other questions come out today from the Magnificent Seven. Obviously, if you're a part of that, yes, you get to get Scudo back on any BFA, but you need to have the Scudo in your bank to bid for the player. You can't bid 100 million and only have 80 million in your bank.
Sure.
If you want to bid on it, you've got to have the money, and then you get a 50% refund from Marcus.
Yep.
Like
makes
it.
Sense.
Good.
Right, boys, we are going to leave it there. So again, thank you very much for coming on. Suited, thank you so much for making an appearance. Great to have you on.
No worries. Thank you very much. Been a pleasure as always.
Thank you. Rhino, thank you very much as always.
Thanks, guys.
Ash, again, same to you, mate. Thank you very much for pushing the buttons as always.
Yep, no worries. Thank you. It's been another good episode, and great to round up the season once again.
Yeah, absolutely. Again, we'll be back probably in 2 to 3 weeks, I think, depending on what happens with the league announcement. Obviously, we'll be across any updates if we do end up getting some more numbers and can change the split of the league positions. Also, we maybe come back with a bit of a Champions League recap and a slightly shorter podcast covering that as well. So, yeah, look out for that one. But we'll leave it there, boys, and thank you very much for listening. Take care.